This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester back with you to get ready for the weekend. Chad Chambers producing. He's got the IHOP hotline, which is brought to you by IHOP, official breakfast partner of Xbox. Decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. It's 869-1240. We've got some giveaways. Our final days to give away for Illuminations at Botanica for the PBR event coming to Wichita tonight. So, well, we're going to get you a chance to go to both of those. We'll also give you some HTO. We got the full gang coming in second hour to make some picks. We have TJ Cleland, Brandon Zinner, Paul Savage in. Six NFL games as we're sort of pushing pause on college football until we get to the playoff. But we'll have plenty for you there. College basketball is back finally this weekend. Glad these teams got some time off, Tommy, but let's be selfish for a minute. That wasn't a fun week.
No.
To not have any college basketball.
There wasn't much going on this week.
What have you done for me lately? That's what we'll do. So we'll have some of that coming for you this weekend. By the way, if you missed any of our conversation with Paul Mills on Wednesday, you can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. The Odyssey app is a great way to listen to the show. You can download it. You can take it with you wherever you are. Listen whenever you want. You can leave us voice messages there. That's right. You heard that right. You just push a little microphone. You can leave a voice message. You can send it. Jad gets it. We can play that right over the air. Of course, you can call that IHOP hotline, and you can leave us your video comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, and thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Tommy, I had about 10 or 12 of the last 36 hours of my life have been on the road. So, you know, if there is any major craziness that's happened over the last that period, I probably haven't had a chance to dig into it yet. I am very glad to be done with that, but here we go. We had a nice holiday party right before I hit the road the other day. It was great. You know, great venue. Thanks to everybody at Odyssey for putting that on. That was a lot of fun. And here we are. It's a Friday.
All
we're ready for the weekend.
Hey, look, all you need to do is thank me. I mean, you say everybody at Odyssey, I did it. So, I mean, you could say thank you, Tommy, for organizing the company Christmas party. It's okay. I'll take the credit for it.
I could say that. I could, But listen, there are others I'm looking at right here. In the email that you sent on driving forces to organize everything
That's
for the party.
True. So I may have been the guy to, I found the venue. Okay. So like
yes.
I secured the venue and then I turned it over to people who are much better than me at actually putting the details together.
You absolutely did what men do and you started it and you didn't finish it.
Yes.
And, you know, smarter people than us can come in and fill in the details.
Can I also say that I'm learning the lesson, and it was a great party, don't get me wrong, but I'm learning the lesson that a weeknight Christmas party is tough. It's tougher now than it maybe was 20 years ago.
Did you have a little hangover? Did you have a little hangover yesterday?
Yeah, and it wasn't because of the party. It was because of the after party. We had our corporate folks come in. We had my boss was in town. And, you know, so the party ended. Technically, the party ended at 9. Everybody was basically out of there by 8:30. Like, and I was ready to go home and go to bed. And then, you know, everybody's like, oh, there's the after party across the street. Like, oh, okay, it's a Wednesday night. What are we doing? Yesterday was a little bit of a grind.
I will trade you that for immediately leaving the party and driving 6 hours to Dallas, which is what I did after the holiday party. And I felt some sort of hangover yesterday, most of the day. I'm still a little groggy from that turnaround. We're getting old. It's fine. It's disgusting. It's sad. It's pathetic. And nobody cares or has sympathy for it. But we're, you know, we wish that you would. 869-1240 is the number to call. One thing I have seen in the time away is the clarity with Hollywood Brown, that it looks like he will be back for the postseason. He can begin practicing. There's no need to rush him back. I do think he can help, right? I think everything helps what ails the Chiefs. If they're going to refuse to run the ball, having Hollywood Brown in a quick attack pass game, if that's what they choose to do instead of just running it up the middle like they should, will help. He's a good player. I don't know how healthy he'll be. I would imagine they just have to design up and scheme up some things, but who wouldn't want Hollywood Brown back in the lineup, right? But what I don't think is all of a sudden Hollywood Brown's going to arrive and everything's going to be fixed for the Chiefs offense. He could give them more red zone options, which is a great thing. But at the end of the day, nothing changes with that news, Tommy. What the Chiefs need to do, they're perfectly healthy and capable of. They're just not doing it.
Yeah, I think the only thing that scares me a little bit, and don't get me wrong, Hollywood Brown is great, and we've wanted to have him all season long. Down the stretch in the regular season and into the playoffs, that's great news. The only thing that scares me is that the Chiefs already are not running the ball, and when you get another weapon for Patrick Mahomes in the passing game, I mean, we might as well, you know, put Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt on milk cartons, you know, wondering where they are because they might end up being missing people if Hollywood Brown comes in. We saw the way that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes wanted to work in DeAndre Hopkins into the game plan when they acquired him. And they did a really good job at that. And I don't think that's the wrong thing to do at all because they wanted to get him acclimated and they did a great job in that. And you've got clearly a legendary true threat at wideout for DeAndre Hopkins now. If they do the same thing with Hollywood Brown, you would think they're going to want to work him in pretty heavily to try to get him up to speed for a playoff push. You also have to wonder, I mean, there are only so many plays that a team can run in a game. How many of those will go to, you know, working in Hollywood Brown and potentially, again, abandoning the run game?
It's it's fine either way. Look, if you're afraid of Isaiah Pacheco getting hurt, which I think is always, if you then just give the ball to Kareem Hunt and Carson Steele and somebody else and Samaje Perine, I don't care. But the game plan is what I have a problem with. I don't care if Isaiah Pacheco only gets 10 carries as long as those others get 15 more, right? And running back carries. I'm not talking about end arounds and specialty, straight through the middle of your interior line run plays that help you control the clock, that help you keep a defense honest and help keep Patrick Mahomes upright. And by the way, you happen to have, you know, the best interior line in football. So I doubt Hollywood Brown has any impact on whether or not the Chiefs decide to run the ball more. They either will or they won't. And I don't know why they won't so far, but I retain that there's a lot of regular season left for them to try to have that clarity. The only problem with that is that means there's a lot of regular season left for Patrick Mahomes to get sacked six times a game. So, you know, we'll see if Hollywood Brown does anything by the postseason, you know, but I do think it in a bigger picture reminds me that early in the year, like the Chiefs were snake bitten by injury, and they've begun to get healthy and stay healthy. So it's like this it feels like there's been three different seasons within this season of like things we're doing. And at the end of the day, with all
12 and
of it,
one,
they're 12 and one. Right. And so that's what I mean. Like I know, and this does feed right into the wheelhouse for the Chiefs DNA and what drives them the most, this narrative that yes, they're 12 and one, but maybe they're about the fifth or sixth best team in football right now. That's what I think most people think, right? Maybe it's fourth best, whatever it is. They're 12 and one. They absolutely were decimated by injury early in the year. They still haven't been, you know, they still can't keep a left tackle healthy or find a solution there. Like all of these things that we talk about, and they're 12 and one. So when you get to the postseason, the thing that they do the best is what got them a Super Bowl last year is still on the table, and that's that they win close games. I think, you know, again, if you can get me to the point where they're consistently running the ball, and I don't want to put an exact number on it because that's hard to do, right? If the other team comes out and scores two quick touchdowns, well, you got to change that game plan. But for the most part, if there is a commitment to run the ball, I think this team is going to be fine. They just have to get to the point where they'll do it within a game. And it's really only been the last 5 weeks or so that they've gotten away from it. They've done this. Not only did they do it last year, Tommy, they've done it this year. It's only been since the Buffalo game that they stopped running the ball with running backs. That's it. Like if you go game by game, that is the point they sort of fell off a cliff on that. And then they've just been there ever since. So I do think it's attainable to get back to it because we've seen it even this year without Isaiah Pacheco.
But it's not a matter of the ball. It's not a matter of whether or not it's attainable because all they've got to do is just do it. Right. It's not like, well, you know, we've got to build back up to it. No, they've got the personnel to be able to make that happen. Isaiah Pacheco is healthy. Kareem Hunt is healthy. Then they've got a couple of change of pace backs that, you know, can help sort of alleviate, you know, a bunch of carries for those top two guys and Pacheco, especially in Pirine and Steele. So it's not a matter of whether or not they can attain it. They can and they will if they do it. I'm reminded of there's a pretty popular meme that's out there of, you know, just a guy that is screaming at the top of his lungs at a brick wall, hoping that the brick wall hears him. That's kind of where we're at right now. Like it's glaring. It's a glaring situation. And it has been for weeks and weeks and weeks where all signs point to the proper solution to what ails the Chiefs is to run the football more. Andy Reid is one of the best coaches to ever do it. He's a multi-time Super Bowl champion. He's the best thing that's ever happened to the Kansas City Chiefs as far as a coach is concerned. Like all those things are true and fair and all of it. But he's got to be committed to do it. And that's not Andy Reid. That's not in his DNA. They did it more a year ago because they were forced to, because they had no.
They did it more this year.
They had no other option at the time a year ago. They had no other pass catchers. And the pass catchers they did have were dropping the football, including future Hall of Famer Travis Kelce had more drops a season ago than he'd ever had. So out of necessity, they were forced to do it. Now, you would think that they would be, forced to do it this year too, but there are more options, there are more toys, there are more weapons where that can allow Andy Reid and the offense to get back more into that game plan of we're just going to throw the ball around with Patrick Mahomes. But everything that you've said and everything we've talked about for weeks about why they should, you're not wrong. Like that's all true. It's all well and good, but they have to do it and they haven't. At least in the last few weeks, they haven't. And so eventually you get to the point, at least I'm at the point now, where I'm kind of done expecting it. If they do, that's a really nice surprise. And it's something that will honestly take me by surprise, and I'll be, you know, really encouraged by it. But at the same time, a week ago in primetime on Sunday Night Football, I was really encouraged by the fact that they ran the ball five times on the opening drive, and then they didn't again until the very end of the game. You know, so it's kind of like getting your hopes up briefly, and then you're like, wait, what the hell is going on? Like, they started off with it. Where did it go?
So in totality last week, they did run it more than they had in more than a month. You know, they had 20 carries to the – and again, we're talking about running back carries, not Mahomes scrambles, not wide receiver trick gadgety plays. So in the first – if you take away the first game of the year against Baltimore, right, and I'm not taking it away for any reason other than to say from weeks two until the Buffalo game, the Chiefs were averaging more than 23 carries per game from running backs. And remember, the vast majority of these games, they did not have Isaiah Pacheco, okay? Then they got to the Buffalo game, and they ran it 16, 15, 18, and 14 times. Significantly, significantly lower in games when we know the Chiefs play nothing but close games. These are all close games. More recently, they've gotten Isaiah Pacheco back, right? Now, against the Chargers, it was strange because they did run it 20 times, but it was all at the very beginning of the game and the very end of the game and nothing in between, right? And so I will say this for the Chargers. They did a better job stopping the run than most teams have this year. Denver was really good stopping the run. And otherwise, I think the Chiefs gain at a clip that is perfectly acceptable to commit to the run. In the games against Buffalo, Carolina, and Vegas, the Chiefs averaged more than 4 yards a carry by their running backs in all three of those games. Okay, the Chargers game, they struggled with it a little bit more, but it's still then it was 3.7. Not a clip at where you would say, you know what, they don't need to run the ball. The 3 times this year where their run game has been flat ineffective was the opener against Baltimore, the first game against Vegas, and the game against Denver. That's it. Every other game, it's been effective enough to do it. And so I think that the hope for me is they just get back to what they were doing for the majority of this season, and that is to run the ball around 22 to 26 times a game with their running backs to keep the defense honest. And the other thing is, I do think with Pacheco, and they may be trying to limit Pacheco, and I don't have a problem with that, by the way. I do think there is something for the Chiefs too, because and this is the difference, I think, in this year and last year. You could have put, I don't care how many people you put in the box on the Chiefs last year, they went strength versus strength and won that way, right? And so let's take a break, and I'm going to look at this. So I'm going to try to pull this exact same page, right? But I'm going to go back to last year and see, maybe we're screaming at the clouds and we're wrong. Maybe they didn't run it as much as we think they did last year. I'm going to pull up these game logs. We're going to come back and we'll look at that. How much more did they last year? Because the personnel in the run game hasn't changed, right? It's been Pacheco, right? I know Kareem Hunt came in this year, but the interior line hasn't changed. Your tight ends are the same. The run game essentially is the same. What's changed is what you've talked about. They're better at wide receivers, so they want to use those guys. So 869-1240, we'll continue this discussion on the other side. The Chiefs, of course, gets the Browns this weekend. Very relevant, because the more times you drop back, or the more times Myles Garrett has a chance to get to Mahomes. All Brockton Caster at Sports Daily. It's a Friday. We'll make some football picks later in the show, by the way. We're coming right back on a Friday. Don't go away.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning on KFH. You can win a 4-pack of vouchers to Illuminations at Botanica right now, courtesy of Sports Daily, KFH, and Odyssey Wichita. All you got to do is text the keyword SHINE to the short code 20357. That's SHINE to 20357. One entry per person per day. Winners drawn at 11:30 this morning. 20357 is the number. Text the keyword SHINE. Good luck, everybody. Welcome back in, Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. Tommy, we're not going to like what I am about to say, but it would appear that the Chiefs didn't run it any more with running backs last year than they have this year. So I'm going back to the game logs here. And there were times that they did. There were times that they did. But for the most part, they were sitting between 15 and 20, 21, 22 carries per game. So, you know, maybe it's because maybe it feels that way for a couple of reasons. One, you had Pacheco the whole time, so they were a little more effective. And two, because Patrick Mahomes wasn't getting slaughtered out there by defensive ends, it didn't feel as bad. I don't, so that probably gives me a little less hope than they're going to all of a sudden run it 25 times a game. But that surprises me, because last year it sure felt like they were a more conservative offense in that way, but it doesn't appear that they were. To the running backs,
well,
right?
And this brings up a good thought or a good point that I've been considering for a while. You go back to a season ago, Donovan Smith started at left tackle, and Patrick Mahomes didn't get slaughtered nearly at the same rate that we've seen so far this year. They don't bring back Donovan Smith. In fact, no team signs Donovan Smith. He is still on the sideline. He's not playing. By all accounts, he's healthy and able to go, and he's made a couple of social media comments about how he's available. Something is going on with that is not really being discussed. We don't know the full story behind that, I would suspect. But at the same time, yeah, I think to myself, okay, we are, you know, maybe in hindsight, like, we're misremembering the amount of times that the Chiefs ran the ball a season ago. But I don't think we are misremembering how, you know, Patrick Mahomes was not under siege with Donovan Smith at left tackle. And so I wonder, like, you know, we can talk about the running game all day long. What was it? And I've been, you know, wanting to play detective for a while, and I'm not going to be the one to find out, I'm sure. But what was it that prompted the Chiefs to move away from Donovan Smith, number one? And then number two, to say, you know what, we're going to feel good about Wanya Morris, who has barely played in the NFL, and Kingsley Suamataia, who has never played in the NFL, to anchor probably the most important position on the offensive line. And then this is what we see going into the last few weeks of the regular season. I've thought about that a lot. Like, yeah, like, we can talk all day long about how that what can solve it is them running the football more. But how did we even get to this point in the first place? And I think that's a big part of it.
I think the second part is a little more clear. I think you trust your evaluations if you're the Chiefs on two high capital draft picks at that position.
To just throw them right into the fire, you know, and up from day one.
Look at Joe Alt. Yeah, I do think tackle is a little
different. I mean, Joe Alt is great. Well, but
he's the first example because we just played him. But tackles and offensive linemen are plug and play more than probably a lot of other positions in the NFL. And that happens all the time, right? We see young offensive linemen in all the time. I don't think, you know, Wanya had a full year, and they did spend high draft capital on him, and then they move up to get Suamataia. The problem is, it would appear that they evaluated those two players very poorly. They have evaluated that position, quite frankly, pretty poorly. And look, Chiefs fans, I know they do most things right. This hasn't been one of them. We don't need to throw stones. Juwan Taylor, Orlando Brown, like, they've missed a lot at that position. They can't get it right. That's why we're in this situation. The first part of it, as to why with Donovan Smith, I don't know. But he's still out there. So something is obviously there that we'll never
wrong.
Know.
Something is obviously wrong.
Yeah, something is wrong there. Like, that we'll never know, or they would have gone.
I mean, they went out and they acquired DJ Humphreys.
Like, there's something
coming
there.
Off of a significant knee injury. They would have rather signed him than Donovan
correct.
Smith.
Yeah, I don't know what it
is,
but it's
like
something.
Let's be fair. Like, okay, Donovan Smith was not amazing for Kansas City.
No, he wasn't very good. Yeah,
but he was significantly better than what we've seen this year at left tackle.
That's correct. His replacement value is high, right? Like, his, you know, they've gotten much worse than he was, and he wasn't very good. I think the other thing is they chose this offseason to spend their money to solve the most glaring need on the roster, which was wide receiver. And that's what they went and attacked, and that's the way they chose to do it. And so
for a guy who hasn't played yet,
correct. But those things happen again. They're 12 and one. Okay. So this running back it's even more necessary this year than it was last year. Again, if only to protect Patrick Mahomes. It's not like they're this juggernaut running team. It's just it protects Mahomes. So if you go back to last year, and I've always said like 25 is the number to me, I'd like to see the running backs combine for 25 carries. It's happening all across football. That's not outrageous to say anymore. The Chiefs last year did not give running backs the ball 25 times in a game after October 1st. Every game they played, including the postseason after October 21st, their running backs carried it fewer than 25 times with hot garbage at wide receiver for a lot of that stretch until Rashee Rice came into his own. So, there probably is something to what Rashee Rice did to those numbers in the way that he affected the offense, right? Quick routes. And I do think one thing we are seeing change a little bit, and I think Dan Israel talked about this to some degree, quick, the time in the pocket does seem to be shrinking to some degree for Mahomes, and that obviously matters too. And perhaps with a more talented group of pass catchers, we do need to just say, okay, it's Andy Reid. They're never going to carry the ball that much. But even then, can the offense, take that evolution? And I know they drafted Worthy and they won all the downfield stuff, but right now they just can't do that. So, but you do happen to have two great tight ends and DeAndre Hopkins, at some point Hollywood Brown, running backs that can catch it. Do you get to a point where it's like Mahomes can't ever take more than 3 seconds to throw the ball? Like every route concept has to be quick routes, except for those one or two shots you want to try to take to Worthy or maybe Hollywood Brown when he gets back a game. You combine that with the run, and that's the way we should look at this, right? How many times does Mahomes sit in the pocket for a long time? But I think the problem with that is this year, especially Mahomes, because he's a human being, doesn't ever want to just sit there in the pocket like that. He's on the move constantly because he knows he's a sitting duck because of reality, right? Because he's under siege every play. And so that's going to be interesting. Is he able to take the quick drop and get rid of the ball without having to bail out of the pocket?
He is.
Psychologically, though, that's going to be difficult because he's been under fire on almost every single drop back he's taken this year, it feels like. So that does take a little bit of a rewiring there. And again, another reason why it'd be real nice if the other team didn't know they could just pin their ears back and pass rush as often.
I think he can. I think he does already. I mean, I go back to the touchdown pass to Hopkins on Sunday night. And it was super fast. I mean, he barely had that ball for 2 seconds before he got it out of his hands and into Hopkins into the end zone. So I he can do that 100%, and he has done that. I think the question then becomes, is that the best use of the offense? Is that the best use of Patrick Mahomes to do that? And I think it can be. And Mahomes has shown that he is super versatile, can do so many different things. Part of me wonders if some of this with the offensive line is a thought process from the coaching staff where, yeah, Mahomes is under fire a lot, but would you rather have anybody else on the run, scrambling outside of the pocket to be able to make things happen and to have success? No, probably not. So I wonder if that thought is the thought of our offensive line play has to be clean and top level is mitigated or discounted, not as important to them because, well, we've got a guy in Patrick Mahomes that can create and make amazing things happen outside of the pocket all the time. So we don't necessarily have to have a rock solid offensive line because we've got a guy like, think about some of the, more maybe mid-level to not great quarterbacks in the NFL. you have to have a rock solid offensive line because they can't produce anything
there
on the fly.
There aren't very many that
they can't do it. So it makes me wonder if that's been the thought process for a while. What's interesting about that thought, there are flaws in it, and those things can be exposed. Because again, you go back to the Super Bowl against the Buccaneers. The Chiefs were exposed in that moment. The lack of offensive line play, quality offensive line play, got Patrick Mahomes running for his life out there, and he wasn't able to connect, wasn't able to have success because it was just so glaring. It was so bad, the offensive line play was, that there's even a limit to what Patrick Mahomes can do. He's the best quarterback that we've probably ever seen. But as you just mentioned a moment ago, he is still human.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the Super Bowl game was less about how bad the offensive line was and more about they took away the deep routes and the Chiefs. And then their defensive line had an opportunity to get after it because those guys weren't getting open. The whole league then started defending people. The Chiefs adjusted out of that faster than the rest of the league. I think we're finally seeing late in this season quarterbacks make the adjustment that Mahomes made 2 years ago. So they're capable of doing it. And I don't think defenses are changing that all of a sudden. That's why I think we've seen Mahomes, and like his numbers get better over the course of this season because they have changed up how they're passing the ball. But I still don't want to concede that the right thing to do is protect Mahomes, at least until you get to the postseason, right? If there was ever a time where you've got, how many games do we have left here? Four? You've got four games left. If there was ever a time, you've got two games over, you're two games ahead of the Bills right now. You're two games clear of them. Why not? You have almost nothing to lose here. Just try it. If nothing else, and for no other reason than to protect Mahomes for the rest of the regular season, just try it, and who knows what happens. Now we've got a base model. We can see maybe it makes the offense better. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it makes the offense worse. Who cares? You're 12-1. But at minimum, you've reduced the opportunities the defensive linemen have to get to Mahomes. At worst, you've done that. Even if you lose the games, you don't want to lose home field. And I know you play to win every game, and I'm being overly simplistic in this. But if there was ever a time to try it, it's now with the Bills losing to the Rams. You've got a little cushion. You're about to face the league's perhaps best pass rusher, at least in the conversation for it. Why not now, right? Why not this week? You try to do that if the game script allows you to do it, which it probably will.
I do not disagree with you in any way.
And if it sucks and it doesn't work, who cares? You've protected Mahomes.
The reason why I'm smiling is because you're not wrong on any of it. You're not. And you can give all of the data and evidence and reasons. And look, I've done that too. Like, why they should do this. They haven't. Like, they haven't. Like, it's stubbornness, maybe. I don't exactly know.
I think it's just this is the way Andy Reid coaches, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he does.
So, again, it's like screaming at a brick wall, and expecting the brick wall to do what you want it to do. Like, so we can give all the stats and reasoning, the logical explanation why they should do. And you know what? They may very well dangle that carrot in front of us on the opening drive like they did a week ago against the Chargers and run the ball five times.
Here we go.
Hey, they're finally listening. Like, Andy Reid's probably tuning into this show right now and like, hey,
right,
it's a light bulb. Like, man, I've never thought about this before. And then all of a sudden it goes away. You know what I mean? So, like, again, I'm not getting my hopes up. You're not wrong on any of it. And I wish they would. I hope they would. I've stopped expecting that they will.
There's a caveat to this. If we're saying this and they do it and lose, we must be willing to accept that as that's just fine because Mahomes made it through, right?
Well, depends
because
on how I do they think lose.
There is a world where they do this and it leads to a loss. I get that completely. Totally understand it. Wouldn't even say that I disagree with it. I don't think that would happen.
It depends on how they lose. I mean, if they lose,
I think highly of their interior line.
If they lose in a shootout, in one of these games where the running game is incredibly effective and they put up three or four touchdowns, but the defense lets them down, then yeah, like that's a different kind of scenario.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, I must be willing to accept it. And this is here's the thing, and Rick's chiming in here, and Andy sure has a lot of wins for somebody that doesn't know how to coach. This is what this is what happens with Chiefs fans.
Calm down, take a breath, Rick.
He's one of the five best coaches, three best coaches, however you want to slice it, of all time. That doesn't mean every single thing all the time is right. It's like when anybody's ever, you know, tries to be critical of Mahomes, it was like, well, Mahomes has all these Super Bowls. He's incapable of doing something differently.
A mistake. No, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not what anybody's saying. And again, they're 12-1, and everybody totally understands that. My biggest concern in all of this is not anything other than 15 being upright when the postseason starts. And right now, you're taking a lot of risk with him, taking the amount of heat and hits that he takes within a game, even when they're not sacks. There's contact there. That is the doomsday scenario in all of this, and that's why it's so urgent. It's not because it's the best path for them to win a game. It's not because we think we know more than any NFL coach, let alone Andy Reid. It's because we're all watching Patrick Mahomes get destroyed out there. And that is the concern, right? It's not about what is the best way for them to move the ball and be an effective offense. For me, it's not.
For me,
not
it is.
Now.
For me, it is. This is me wanting the Chiefs to be the best version of themselves. And look, they're 12-1. And again, your record says you are, but they have 1,000% not been the best version of themselves over the last month.
But honestly, like, they haven't run the ball when they have so effectively that it's egregious. Like, the quality of their runs. Now they have Pacheco back, which does matter. But again, I don't want to call him fragile, but you want to make sure he's there. It's not that for me. I am absolutely willing to concede that the best version of this offense is what is being put out there. I am fine with that, especially with Mahomes playing much better than he was early in the year. I'm totally willing to accept that. That's where I would probably trust Andrew. But that's not my priority here. My priority here is A, to help the defense, which I think running the ball does. Whether or not it's your best version of your offense, it's helping your defense, which is flawed, stay off the field. And it's keeping Mahomes upright. Those two reasons are far more important to me to want to see here than what the best version of the offense is, because I'm absolutely willing to say the best version of the offense is to put the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands 35 to 40 times. You won't, like, I'm not going to sit here and say, no, you're wrong. That's incorrect, because I don't think that it is. I don't know that it is. I'm unsure, but I think that some of the things that challenge this team in other places, that's where I think this helps them. And again, I've got to be willing to accept that may mean they don't move the ball as well on offense. Maybe they don't score as many points. I have to be willing to accept that, because I think it's absolutely possible to maybe even likely if they do this. But you're protecting Mahomes every time you run the ball, and you're in some ways protecting your defense every time you run the ball. I mean, that's just that when you control the clock, you keep your defense off the field. And right now their defense is not what it once was. We'll get to this game after after another segment here, because we're going to pick it. It's a noon game, so it'll be early in the picks this week. We're going to come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got a full house in hour number two. I said this, and I didn't even mean to, and I'm very proud of it, Tommy, but it was unintentional. TGIF, and we have a full house in hour number two.
Oh.
Come on now.
I did like that show a lot when I was growing up. Watched it every week.
Yeah. We'll be right back. More Sports Daily right after this.
To get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily on this Friday. Tommy Caster, Jacob Albrock, Jad Chambers producing the program, debuting a brand new feature on our program. Every single Friday, we're calling it the Friday Fit here on Sports Daily with our friends over at 3570 Golf Co. here in Wichita. If you are a golfer, or if you just like clothes, 3570 Golf Co. is a local golf apparel brand. And they make their designs, Jacob, really to invoke what the Heartland is, the Midwest feel. What's really cool about Friday Fit is that I am, if you're watching our video stream, I am wearing some of the 3570 Golf Co. apparel. I've got the golf shirt here. It's called the Amber Waves. And you know, if you get in close, you might be able to see the wheat stalks that are on the golf shirt. I'm rocking the prairie hoodie in the evergreen color, which I got to tell you, I don't know if you're a hoodie guy or not. This is the softest hoodie, I swear to you, I've ever worn in my entire life.
Well, stand up and twirl it, girl. Let's see it.
Mean, come on. Like, I'm sort of like bound here by where the microphone is, so I can't really model it on the video stream. You'll have to take my word for it, or you can go online to 3570golfco.com. And if you want to take a look at their product line, they've got brand new polos just in time for the holiday season. It's perfect if you're an avid golfer or if you're a weekend warrior, or maybe you just, you know, like for me, I like wearing golf shirts to work because they're comfortable and they dress up nicely for meetings and things like that. You can go check out their entire product line. They've got hats, they've got hoodies, they've got golf head covers, got a bunch of other cool stuff. Use the promo code Tommy, by the way, that's T-O-M-M-Y, at 3570golfco.com, and you can get 10% off your order. So we're really excited to work with them. This is going to be happening every single Friday here on the program. And yeah, we're excited to have them part of the show.
Good, perfect timing for Christmas season, too. I'm going to check out some of their stuff. We had so much fun with them at the Wichita Open last year, so. Glad to have them on board. Thank you for their support. And yeah, we'll have Tommy modeling some apparel here for us.
I never thought that I would be like a fashion influencer.
Yes,
but
you
hey,
did.
Look,
yes,
you did. You're right. I
yes,
hope
you did.
I crossed my fingers. I desperately wanted to be a fashion influencer. Yes,
this is a dream come true.
But I'm not kidding you though. This is the softest and most comfortable hoodie I've ever worn. The cool thing about it too, by the way, I just have to say, with golf shirts, I've worn a lot of them over the course of my life. I know you have too. The thing I hate the most is the baking collar, you know, like you wash it a few times and the collar gets like wrinkly folded. Like this is like super firm. It doesn't do that. It won't do that. So yeah, definitely in time for the holidays, go online 35x70golfco.com. Use promo code Tommy.
That's fantastic. Glad to have them on board. We're going to come into hour number two, by the way. We'll have two more giveaways for you in hour number two. A lot of good stuff there. So make sure you do that. We're also going to make some picks. TJ, Brandon, Paul, all going to join the program as we're making our way through. I don't know how much have you seen all this like milk stuff, bird flu stuff, Tommy. It's been crazy in the news lately. Have you been keeping up?
I mean, I've heard a little bit about it. I really haven't followed a lot. I've heard a lot about. The drones, is that related to all the drone thing going on?
No, it's just this milk. Like every time I hear it, it reminds me of this time I had a really bad sunburn. And a doctor was like, you know what? You need to take a milk bath. I'm like, a milk bath for a sunburn? And he's like, trust me, it'll help. And I said, you know, I was like, pasteurized? And he said, no. Just up to your neck should be fine.
I was waiting for that punchline.
There was no easy way to like set that up. By the way, it's like, here's the sharp left turn.
I didn't
have
get
you
it
been
at first.
With the milk news? Oh, you didn't get it?
I do now. Pasteurized. Like, I understand it now.
Just up to your neck.
I understand it now.
Pasteurized.
I told you this one last night. Why was the Christmas garland late?
Good. This is good.
It got hung up.
Yep. I like it.
Where's my drum symbol,
well,
Jad?
To be fair, I'd let Jad know that he would need to
give
have
me the hi hat here a little bit. Jad, come on, man.
I didn't have the crickets ready. Sorry.
Wow.
Oh yeah. We need to bring that back. You know, there was a while there. We were on like a good, it's on like a good 6 month stretch of trying to sneak in dad jokes, and I need to get that back going again. I'll work on that. What I'll work on in the break here is how to pick some of these games. That's what we're doing next. We'll get you ready for the college basketball weekend as well in hour number two. Thanks for being here with us, everybody. On your way to work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car? With the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can just download the app, visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH, download the Odyssey app to get started, download this show in podcast form. Go back and listen to how we're about to pick these games. Jad's got the receipts. That's next on Sports Daily.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two here at Sports Daily. It's Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, Paul Savage, Brandon Zinner, TJ Cleland, all here to make some football picks. It's all NFL this weekend, fellas, as we wait for college football to get back going. Jad, before we do, I know you were gone last week. I think Paul sent you the results there. How are things looking going into this home stretch of our football picks?
Well, I believe Tommy won the week.
Yep. Yes, I did.
Yeah, you were 5-1.
Maybe let's go.
Man, every other week you have a terrible week and a good week and then a terrible week and then a good week.
I got to buck that trend now.
Yeah, you kind of need to, because we're starting to run out of time, guys. Now, TJ, he's the one that knows we're running out of time, because, Paul, you are only one game up on TJ right now.
What?
Yeah, he has pulled to within one game.
Oh, look at that smug smirk. That is sickening, man. That you're gloating,
Paul. You just keep picking these picks off of people's bedtimes, and I'll keep making the right ones.
I just gotta say, Paul, don't tease up a couple of points like you did Oregon Penn State last week, because you are only one game up.
All right, I got you. You know something? I'm getting serious right now. Now it's game time. Money's on the table. I'm getting serious about this. I've just been joking around.
Money's on the table? What money?
Okay.
You didn't know that? Yeah. You didn't know money's on the table, Jacob?
Yeah, you're so good. We've been worrying about taking your money.
Yeah, you should feel bad about that.
Yeah.
Trying to send kids to college over here.
All right.
Let's get into it, boys. Jad, hit the music. We're going to start because it's a noon game this week, the rare one. A Chiefs going on the road for the Sunday noon kick. They face a team with the world's most exciting quarterback under center, a team with one of the world's best pass rushers. The Chiefs are laying 4 points on the road, Tommy. Is that are you biting again? I don't know where you've been on the Chiefs lately, but yeah. Do you just say 4 points is too many points?
Well, I think 1 point is too many points. The Chiefs don't cover. They haven't covered in weeks. It just isn't what works. And so until they cover, and it might be this weekend, but until they cover again, I'm not going to pick them to cover. Give me the Browns and give me those points at home.
Paul. Are you taking the Browns at home?
You know something? I'm tempted because, you know, if I look at teams in the NFL who right now are functional to semi-dysfunctional, I would say, you know, the Browns might kind of fall under that dysfunctional groundwork. I just have no confidence in the Browns. But on the other hand, Tommy's right. You know, I hate to admit it, but Tommy's right. Chiefs don't do a very good job of covering. You know, they win games, but they don't cover games. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Taking the Chiefs. Brandon, you gonna fall for it here? The Chiefs have been teasing us for a long time.
Well, how about this for a stat? The Chiefs don't cover, but this year, when the line is between 2.5 and 5.5, they do cover. 3-1. There's no reason to believe this team except for that one stat alone. So maybe I'll get a Chiefs island. Go ahead and give it to me.
TJ? Are you going to give Brandon a chance? Well, I haven't picked yet either, but what where are you at with this?
That stat that Brandon pulled up, they didn't cover last week as 4-point favorites, so the one was a week ago.
Yeah.
So I'm picking the Browns in this one. I think it's a bad disaster, a bad recipe for the Chiefs this week. I think the pass rush is going to be real good from the Browns. And Jameis Winston, boom or bust, I'm going to call a boom. Five big booms, actually. Give me the Browns.
Ah, man.
Chiefs island to start would be electric.
It would be electric. And I just, like, Jameis allows so much freedom for a cover with his pick sixes that I'm just like, that's where I'm stuck on this.
Hey, let me throw out another thought to you, Jacob, real quick. Brandon is 20 games under 500 in these picks. So he's got to have a Chiefs island. So just
we bring stats. Down. No one says they work, but we bring stats.
We do bring the stats. Look, it's a Myles Garrett issue. It's a fact that Jameis isn't afraid to go over the top, and the Chiefs have been vulnerable to that. I'm going to also take the Browns. And that's a tough spot historically for any team in the NFL.
Now, Brandon, now I took the Chiefs. You're not on an island.
Oh,
I thought you took the Browns.
What?
There,
oh, did
Paul?
I take the Browns? Okay, I'll take the Browns.
Well, hang on.
Said I'm taking the Chiefs. A Paul special.
Paul, had you as taking the Chiefs as well.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
He
talked up the Browns.
Yeah, I talked up the Browns and then took the Chiefs.
The Paul
at the
special.
End.
My bad.
You're
Paul,
so confusing, Paul.
Jeez.
Colts
I've
and
heard
Broncos.
That all my life, by the way. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Right? Yeah. Let's start it off then, Paul. Colts and Broncos. The ponies. The battle of the ponies here. Broncos 4-point favorites at home. What do you like in this
one? You know something? I kind of like the Broncos. I'll tell you what. If this game was like 10 weeks ago, I'm not sure I would have been able to say, yeah, I kind of like the Broncos. But you want to know something? That's why you play games and you play to get better. You practice to get better. The Broncos, I don't think anybody wants to play the Broncos. They have pretty good moments. I'm going to take the Broncos in this game. And this is at home. This is at Mile High. It's going to be a little nippy up there. I think this is a game set up perfect for the Broncos playing a team that plays in a dome.
Brandon, what if I told you 6 months ago that Bo Nix is better than Anthony Richardson?
Oh, I'd say still give me J.J. McCarthy because it doesn't even matter. Denver wins this one. They're all but assured that they're going to get a playoff spot. They'll be three clear of Indianapolis if they get this one. Both teams coming off of a bye. But outside of the Ravens and the Chiefs, the Denver has just looked like a playoff team the last 2 months.
Yep.
Give me Denver.
TJ, you agree?
I agree. They're in the playoff hunt, basically. In the playoffs, they're playing for seeding now, so why not try to keep pouring it on? I'm a Bo Nix truther. Give me Denver.
I think the Colts can keep it within four. That's a pretty big number. That's a pretty big number for a not bad team in Indianapolis. I'll take the points there. I'll take a shot because I think Tommy will probably take the Broncos. I'll take a shot for an island and get some points on it. I'll take the Colts.
Well, and here's the interesting thing, though, about the Colts is that, you know, we talk about the Broncos and their playoff chances in this game. With the win, the Colts' odds of making the playoffs go from 25% to 50%. But if they lose the game, they're basically out of the playoff hunt. It drops all the way down to 3% with the Colts' loss. So it is an extremely crucial game for Indianapolis if they have any chance of making the playoffs. That being said, I am going to pick the Broncos, though, because I mean they've been pretty good this year, and they can lock up a playoff spot for sure. So I'm going to lay those points at home for Denver.
And if nothing else, the Colts play a lot of close games, like a lot of close games if you look at their schedule. All right, Bills-Lions, the Lions 2.5-point favorites here, Brandon, against the Bills. It's not trappy, but I was fascinated to see where this line fell, and this is a really difficult line. I can't wait for this game, obviously, but man, it is a tough one to pick.
Yeah, it is, and just doing the research, another stat that's probably just going to come back in my face, but pretty fascinating. Against the AFC as a Lion, Jared Goff, 7-2 against the spread, and he covers on average by 11 points. They don't just beat AFC teams, they blow them out, and it just feels like Buffalo, they always have a little span here, 3-4 games where things just don't look right. They're still going to be in the playoffs, but give me Detroit in a nice bounce-back spot after a close one last week.
Do the Lions ever fall back to earth in this season, TJ? Like, can you know, what are you doing with 2.5?
My argument here is that everybody likes Jared Goff in the dome. Wait till you see Josh Allen in the dome. I think the Bills' offense is going to cook when they're playing indoors. They're used to having to buckle it down in the cold. I think that Josh Allen's going to go crazy in this game. Give me the Bills to get it done on the road. Big win. Confuse everybody. Who's good? Who's not?
They just lost on.
They just lost.
It's a different dome.
Different dome.
The best defense for Josh Allen is to keep him off the field. And the Lions can do that better than any team in football. So I'm going to take the Lions here, -2.5. Any range of value, no confidence in that. But I do think the way you can limit Josh Allen is to not let him be out there. And the Lions run the ball better than anybody in football. I'm going to take the Lions. Tommy?
You know what? Detroit has been really good against the spread this season. They're 9-4 overall. I think what's interesting, I mean, this line has kind of moved all over the place. And I know that you've got us picking it at -2.5. But and it's moved there. At one point, got all the way down to 1.5 for Detroit as of, I think, yesterday, and then moved back to 2.5. I think all that being said, though, I mean, taking Detroit at home when they're 9-4 against the spread overall, that's probably the right play. I'm going to take the Lions. I'll lay that 2.5. I think though, I mean, it's a coin flip. They're getting they're laying those points because they're at home. But regardless, I think I'm going to take Detroit.
Paul, it probably is as simple as you cannot let TJ have a Bills Island here. But what are you thinking with this?
Well,
one?
But
your Lions were on Hard Knocks. I know.
I know. And I'm going. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the locker room speech just before the Lions go out. So pretend like I'm Dan Campbell, guys. Nobody in this country thinks we can do this. Everybody thinks we're pretenders.
They're favored.
But guys, I'll tell you what. We believe in each other in this room. In this room. The nation may not believe us. We're getting ready to play pretty boy Josh Allen and his Bills. And we've got to beat them. We've got to set the pace for what's coming up. We've got to get the respect of this league. Guys, let's get out there and do it. Let's go.
Okay, listen, 4 out of 5 people are picking the Lions in Vegas, thinks the Lions are favorites. But, you know, if Dan Campbell can get that kind of motivation, good for Dan Campbell.
I'm taking the Bills.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, I like it. All right, so there's the Bills. There's no island. Bucks, Chargers. This is one of my this week in the NFL rocks, by the way. It's going to be so good this weekend. Bucks Chargers is fascinating. Clash of styles. Like, this is all over the place, TJ, with what these teams want to do, how they defend it. Chargers are 3-point home favorites. You think they can stop the Bake Show?
You know, Justin Herbert looked really good in the second half against the Chiefs. I'm assuming Ladd McConkey's going to play. I don't know. I've been following up on that.
I'm assuming
like that
as well. Yeah.
I feel like if Ladd McConkey was on the field against the Chiefs, the Chargers might have won that game because they were really bad in the first half. Having him might have helped. So I'll ride the hot hand of the Chargers. Give me LA.
Yeah, that's a good asterisk because he was limited again yesterday in practice. I'm with you exactly. If Ladd McConkey plays, I'm going to take the Chargers, assuming he'll play. If he doesn't, though, I'd really be careful with this game. It's kind of like the Chargers defend the pass well, right, and the Buccaneers throw the ball. Buccaneers can defend the run. The Chargers would like to run the ball, but I'm going to take the Chargers at home -3. You know, Baker might have a hard time with Bosa and Mac and all those guys, but I'll take the home points there. But watch that Ladd McConkey injury if you're actually going to bet this game. Tommy?
So, I mean, I think that this is a really good letdown spot for the Chargers. You know, they're not going to win the AFC West. The Chiefs clinched that a week ago with their win on Sunday Night Football. So, I mean, they're obviously still in the playoff push, and they'll make the playoffs barring some major collapse down the stretch. But I think at least in this one game at home, they're probably thinking they can take their foot off the gas a little bit. Give me the Bake Show. Give me the Bucks on the road. I'll take those points.
Paul? Where do you stand on this battle of two teams that really would like to be in the playoffs and get there? Two good teams, two good quarterbacks.
You know, I said before this show started, I really don't have – there's several of these games I don't have a feel for. This is one of those games. And I'll tell you, I can make a case for both of them. And yet, on the other hand, there's something about the Chargers. There's just something about the Chargers that fascinate me to a point where I'm going to go ahead and take the Chargers. And other than that, I mean, for me, this is a toss of a coin. Sorry, guys, but it's just a toss of a coin. Even though it's 3 points, I'm still going to take the Chargers.
I mean, aren't we all just tossing the coin when we're betting, Brandon? The best of it is like 55% probably over time. Where do you like this one?
Yeah, my stat that I wrote down for this one is I just circled Tampa Bay. We like the Bills in a dome. Wait till you see Bucky Irving and Mike Evans in a dome this weekend against the Chargers. I think this is a really good spot for the Bucks on the road.
Man, I thought I was going to get a Bucks Island.
I thought you might.
Oh.
Yeah, which would have been.
I'm a Bucks believer.
Which would have been really strange. I'm a Bucks believer, too. I believe in both of these teams. I think they're both pretty good. Steelers-Eagles, another fascinating game. We've got the Eagles 5.5-point favorites at home. You guys know I really like what the Steelers are cooking, but I don't like it in this game. I'm going to take the Eagles here. No George Pickens. I think that, you know, the Eagles want to run the ball, and they will run the ball, and they've got their own issues, but it feels like a little bit. The Eagles are kind of like the Chiefs. Like, they keep winning all these games, but people, you know, just try to find out what's wrong with the team because Jalen Hurts hasn't looked, whatever it is. But I think Pittsburgh's going to be pretty limited without George Pickens. So I'm going to take the Eagles and lay 5.5. But I think this is going to be another really fun game to watch. Tommy?
You know, what's funny is I could have sworn that you were going to pick the Steelers because I know how much you love them.
No, George Pickens. He's a big key for them.
And I'm sure that you would have sworn that I was going to take the Eagles. I'm not. I'm going to take the Steelers. I'm going to take the points in this game. And the reason being, the dysfunction continues to grow in Philadelphia. All the drama this week with Brandon Graham and A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. And, like, those two guys are not on the same page. And Brandon Graham speaking about it and all of that stuff. I think the Steelers, what they do best is they put their head down and they go handle business. Even though they're on the road, if they're getting 5.5, I don't know if they'll win the game, but I certainly think they can cover that 5.5.
Oh, I think Mike Tomlin's history as an underdog is incredible. Brandon may have something on that, but like his history as an underdog is wild, I think. But, you know, I'm gonna fall for it this week to some degree. Paul, which side of this are you on?
You know something? I'm just going to say the name of one person, and you said it already, Coach Tomlin. I mean, I'll tell you what, when it comes right down to it, you know, you got to think about this guy and what he does and how he prepares and how his players believe in him. And granted, I think the Eagles are probably from top to bottom a better team. Dysfunction, no sure. Dysfunction, whatever it is. I think that the Eagles are a really good football team. But you know something? Those points grabbed my attention. 5.5. That's a lot of points. Yeah. For a team like a Coach Tomlin-led football team, that's a lot of points. I've taken the Steelers, and I think it could be a close game, but I'll tell you what, that 5.5 swings it for me to the Steelers.
Brandon, we saw the Steelers struggle without Pickens last week. They're not going to have him again by all accounts. Can they Mike Tomlin this game up enough, though? I think they definitely can, but which side of it are you taking?
I don't know if they can Mike Tomlin it up enough, but the Eagles can surely Nick Sirianni it up enough. This is the time of year where, yeah, A.J. Brown's complaining about who knows what. He's fourth in the league in yards per game, and he still says passing is their biggest issue. That vibes are just weird in Philly right now. Vibes are high in Pittsburgh. Even with no George Pickens, I think they find a way to muddy this up enough. I'll take the Steelers and the points on the road. They've been a wagon all year. Keep riding them.
Yeah, I like what they're cooking. I just don't know. Jalen Hurts looks not good, TJ, throwing the ball. Like, he does not look good. They can run the ball, obviously, but he's been bad as a passer this year. I don't think I'm buying into the drama quite as much as everybody else is. What do you think?
I'm going to pull out some stats here like Brandon as well. Eagles have won 9 straight games, and they've won 8 straight games by 5 or more points. I'm going to take that and just hope to Jesus that they can get me the extra half point in this one. So give me Philadelphia.
I want to make it clear. If Pickens was playing, I think the Steelers would beat the Eagles, but I just don't think they have much else in the pass game. All right. Packers-Seahawks, another really difficult one. Tommy, you'll start us here. Seahawks are 2.5-point home underdogs. The most forgotten team in football every single year are the Seattle Seahawks. But Green Bay's good. Where are you at with this one?
I'm probably going to butcher this quote. Didn't Geno last year say, or a couple years ago, say something like, they counted us out, we didn't count back, or something like that? That's kind of what has happened with the Seahawks. I mean, as you mentioned, they're the most overlooked and forgotten about team in the NFL, in my opinion. It's interesting with the NFC West. TJ and I talked about it on the show yesterday. Who's going to step up and actually take the NFC West? The Rams made a statement on that last night. The Niners are out of it. The Cardinals have kind of fallen off. I think it's going to be a two-horse race between the Rams and the Seahawks. I like the Packers, don't get me wrong, but if I'm going to get points on Seattle at home and they need to keep pace with the Rams and win that division, give me Seattle. I'm going to take the Seahawks and I'll take those points.
Paul, the Seahawks are only a game worse, you know, than the Packers are this year. That's, yeah. Again, yeah. We forget about them all the time. Which side of this are you taking?
Well, you know, I've not ever really been a Love fan. He's not my guy. He's not my quarterback. He's not the guy I would pick to lead my team. There are a lot of other quarterbacks I would take, so I'm not a believer in him. With that being said, I like the trending of the Seahawks. I like what they're doing. This is right. Tommy, I think you said it well when you said home team – getting points, I kind of like that with you. I think that is enough reason for me to take the Seahawks. I will take the Seahawks.
Brandon?
Well, Tommy, the quote was, they wrote me off, I ain't right back.
That's right. I knew I would butcher it.
Great. Say that again, what was it?
Smith moment. What's that?
Say it again, I didn't catch that.
They wrote me off, I ain't right back, though. Oh,
that's right.
I never heard that. I'll be darned.
But the Packers offense, they're kind of struggling as of late. They haven't eclipsed 300 yards in each of their last three games. I don't think I've picked a Seahawks game right all year. I haven't picked many games right all year, but yeah, I just like the vibes in Seattle. Home dogs, I'll ride with them against the Packers.
What do you think, TJ?
I'm picking this one for one reason and one reason alone. Sunday is Gabby Sand's birthday. She's a Packers fan, so go Pack, go. They're covering.
This is your fiance, correct? Mm-hmm. That's a smart way to pick.
It's romantic.
Smart man.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, so that's sweet. That's just, good Lord.
Listen, I'm about to Paul Savage it because I think the Packers are better than the Seahawks. I think, you know, they're going into good weather, all of these things. But, man, I'm just going to take the Seahawks because they're getting points at home. The Seahawks, why do we do this with them? They have an insanely talented pass-catching group. They got two really good running backs, and Charbonnet showed last week that if Walker's out, he's going to be fine. Geno's, you know, at least an average, if not above average, quarterback, and their defense is pretty good. Yet we never think about, like, Seattle never gets, they're the Rodney Dangerfield of the NFL. I'm going to take the Seahawks. I'm going to take those home points. Is that it? We good?
That's it.
Any island there? Are you the only one that took the Packers, TJ?
No, we got we got the Broncos. I think Jacob, you got the Colts, don't you? As an island?
Yeah, I took a Colts mm-hmm. island.
I think we got an island.
Hills island.
Yeah. Well, two islands. We'll see how it goes. You know, TJ and Paul are neck and neck here. The rest of us are just
looking sweating right now. Can you see that? He's nervous as can be. I mean, this is a big deal. You know, see what you don't understand, TJ, is that this is life altering. These kind of victories to be champion of this, it's life altering.
I almost just said a term that might have got us in trouble. I'm going to have to ask Jad if I'm allowed to say that during the break. I'm not sure. That's it. That's the picks this week. When we get college football back next week, we'll get it back soon. But until then, we'll just keep picking NFL games, and we'll take football picks as long as we can, basically as long as we can take them. So be ready for that. On the way out here, let's give away some NFR tickets. PBR. Different rodeo event. Professional Bull Riders coming to Wichita. It's the PBR Unleash the Beast Tour this Friday night at Interest Bank Arena. We're giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets. All you got to do is text the keyword BEAST to the short code 20357. That contest ends in about 40 minutes, so we'll get a winner there, but you do have one more chance to get in. Text the keyword BEAST to 20357. It's professional bull riding right here in Wichita tonight. Again, 20357 BEAST. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. We've got more. Paul sticks around as we get ready for college basketball this weekend. Brandon, TJ, we'll talk soon. You'll be seeing Brandon, TJ over the next few days through the holidays here on the show as well. Good luck with your picks, everybody. Let's all make some money. And we'll be right back on the other side. We'll tell you about Crestview Country Club. We appreciate their support of the program here. We are getting ready for the holiday season out there. I know they've got some big deals coming up on stuff inside the clubhouse there. If you're looking for some golf, they'll have a great place to go eat and party for some of the holiday things. It is getting to the point where you can't golf every day, but they got all kinds of stuff, including two simulators that you can get in there and swing it around on. So give Crestview a call. Tell them we sent you. Ask about all those different kinds of memberships. You can have fun just with the pool and the social stuff if you want, or you can play all the golf you want too. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. We appreciate their support. All right, fellas, we got college basketball back this weekend. KU, they get a game against NC State. It's at home. NC State right now looks, they're 7-3 on the year. They're about 78 in KenPom. Sorry, I'm looking at KenPom and the net. In KenPom, they're about 78. It's a game KU should clearly win. We don't have a line or anything on the game yet, but what do we need to see, Tommy, to right what has been wronged over the last couple of weeks with those two losses on the road? Like, what do we need to see? Because obviously they can't go play a quality road game. It's not on the schedule. So what can we see that would make you feel better?
I think what would make me feel better a lot moving forward would be not Bill Self not having to put as much pressure on the veterans on the team, guys like DeJuan Harrison, KJ Adams, and Hunter Dickinson. I would like to see all three of those guys playing 30 minutes in the game or maybe even a couple minutes less. They've got enough depth to where you don't have to run those guys ragged. And that's really been an issue that we've seen recently with Hunter Dickinson, where he has looked gassed at times, you know, when he's playing a lot of minutes. And that's something that I know that Bill Self talked about before the season, that he's got to try to find ways to give those guys more breathers. But it's kind of like when we talked in hour number one about how Andy Reid does what Andy Reid does. Bill Self does what Bill Self does. Like, he's going to always lean on the experience and the trust factor that he has with his veterans. And so we need to see the newcomers, whether they're, you know, young like Flory Badunga or the transfers in like Storr and Griffin and Mayo, really be able to step up to be able to take that pressure off the shoulders of guys like Dickinson, Harris, and Adams.
Yeah, I think I agree, Paul. It's Badunga for me, and I brought this up. Like, I'd like to see them be able to get him more involved and figure out a way to keep Dickinson fresh, I guess.
Right, fresh is a good word.
I could be totally wrong about this, by the way. Like, this isn't like something I'm passionate about. I just wonder though what the team can look like at its peak without Dickinson on the floor, and if it offers any more athleticism, and if they could figure out a rotation that lets him stay fresh, because to me, he does look like he's laboring a little bit for whatever reason. And so that's kind of what I want to see. Where is it for you, Paul?
Right now, it's the paint. Right now, that KU's got to do a better job of defending the paint. You know, there's teams that have ways of drawing, you know, Dickerson out to the edge of the paint and that kind of stuff. And that's not his strength. His strength is around the basket, deep into the paint. And if KU can defend the paint, I think KU changes. They change in ways on defense that don't allow teams, you know, back doors and easier baskets. So for me, it's figure out the paint. Get Dickinson in a position where he can defend in a more useful manner, in a more effective manner. Actually, effective manner is a better way of saying it. So for me, it boils down to take care of the paint, and KU will be fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they'll be fine in this game. I think they're going to bounce back, Tommy, and win in a big way and be good and do all those things. To your point, you know, at what point do we just expect all these guys to start becoming bigger factors from the outside? Like, I don't know what's magically going to make that happen. I know that Shreyas, I believe, Paul, if you remember correctly, you know, it's AJ Storr that he's sort of pointing to as the biggest letdown as far as those guys coming in. But I'm not ready to, you know, last year it became pretty clear that they weren't talented enough out there. I'm still not ready to even start that conversation yet, because I do think they're far more talented out there, Tommy, than just, you know, what we saw last year that became so clear and so obvious when we were watching. I still do think this group can get there. How much do you think practice sucked this week?
Oh, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was tough. I'm sure it was tough. But look, like, this is a necessary stretch, I think, for the Jayhawks. You know, I don't historically, as I've followed the Jayhawks program, I usually don't like the teams that start the year as the preseason number one. I mean, you look back to a season ago. I mean, they completely underperformed for sure.
Yeah.
I typically don't like those really highly hyped teams. And they needed to go through a stretch like they went through last week. And I would rather them go through it in the beginning of December than go through it in February. Now, the question is, how do they respond to all of this? I think that, you know, going back to the letdown factor of AJ Storr, I think it's not obviously not just him. I mean, Ryland Griffin, I think, probably needs to play better, make more shots. Zeke Mayo has shown flashes, but we need more consistency from there. You know, David Coit has done a really good job too, when he really hasn't been, I think, on the radar to do so early on in the season. We're going to know pretty quickly the kind of resolve and resiliency that this team has. in not only this game tomorrow, and I agree with you, I think that they win. I think they win comfortably against NC State. But we're knocking on the doorstep of Big 12 play. And just like every single year, the Big 12 is a juggernaut. I mean, you know, you've got Houston and you've got Iowa State, and they look really good. And multiple other teams. I know Arizona, you know, has had some letdowns during non-conference, but there are really, really good teams in this conference. So you're going to find out pretty quickly if they're able to shake off this last week or if it's going to be more like the team that we saw a season ago. And they've got more talent than by far than what they had a season ago, but can they perform at that level?
I'm going to ask you this, Tommy, because you're plugged into the pulse of KU very closely. The vibe I get from the most critical is that it's just not going to, like, the Hunter Dickinson version of the Jayhawks is just not going to be able to win a national championship. That's where I think that I keep looking at that area is, can they get better with him, right? And can they better utilize that spot? They were so dependent on it a year ago. I guess I just don't want them to need to be as dependent on that as they were a year ago, because I don't think that's going to work either, right? I don't think Hunter Dickinson or bust is going to be enough for Kansas to reach what they want to reach.
Why do you think Bill Self was so aggressive in the portal going into this season?
But it's feeling like they're kind of going down that road again.
They tried that. It's not intentional. They tried that a season ago. Now, of course, we can look back on Arterio Morris and, you know, all the other things that happened with that team where, you know, that wasn't the initial plan going into it. It became the reality last season. They had zero depth. They had nobody that could produce shooting the ball from outside. They had no shot makers. They had nobody that could create offense. They were leaning on DeJuan Harris and KJ Adams to do that, and that's not really their game necessarily. They do other things well, but from an offensive creation standpoint, that's not either DeJuan Harris or KJ Adams. They had to do that, and defenses knew that all they had to do was stop Hunter Dickinson. That was it. They had no other kind of weapon. The Jayhawks couldn't play inside out. They couldn't create shots on the outside. They were not shooting from the perimeter, and they had no depth. And so as soon as you got Hunter Dickinson tired or in foul trouble or whatever, it was a disaster a season ago for Kansas. And Bill Self went out and he got a ton of reinforcements. He went out and he got depth from the transfer portal, plug and play guys that could jump in right away. I know the feeling, and believe me, I know a lot of people that feel it right now of, like you just mentioned, this team feels an awful lot like where we were getting to a year ago, where they don't have, you know, the shot makers and the offense creators and things like that. They do. They just need those guys to actually do it. And I think that's the difference. That's the difference from a year ago to this year, is that you could look up and down the roster a season ago and you had no idea who was even capable of creating offense. You know who's capable of creating offense this season. They just have to be more consistent in doing it.
Mm-hmm. But Paul, Coach Savage here, if you're the opposition and you're going into a game against Kansas, and we know all of this about, like, top priority, right, is easy. Stop Hunter Dickinson.
Right.
Like, let's make it. Yeah. And honestly, I think that's a good thing, right? Because that's what teams are going to do to them. So mm-hmm. It's either kind of like swim or drown a little bit for KU.
Man, I'd like to be a guard at the University of Kansas. I'd like to be a forward or a swing man. I'd like to be one of those guys, because you're going to have opportunity, because teams are going to stop Hunter Dickinson. They're going to do whatever it takes. And that's the good thing. We talk about, you know, the paint with Hunter Dickinson, but on the other hand, we also talk about playing for the opportunity. And listen, North Carolina State believes, they've looked at film, they believe they can have they'll put together a game plan that they can come in to Allen Fieldhouse and win a game. I think they're a decent basketball team. Are they a great team? No, they're not a great team. You know, they're going to probably be lower half in the ACC.
They'll be middle of the pack.
Yeah. But the point is that everybody knows, how do you beat Kansas? Well, you know, there's a thing called film, and everybody knows exactly how you beat the University of Kansas. So the teams that give KU a run for their money are going to know that you get Hunter Dickinson, you get him pulled out, you get him trying to do other things other than what you got teammates to do, and that's your success. So now the point is, of course, countering it. Now, has Bill Self in this week been able to do what it takes to fix the things that are wrong? We'll see. However, you're going to see teams that are a whole lot better than North Carolina State once Big 12 play starts. So yeah, we'll see.
I like this opportunity for Kansas tomorrow.
Well, it might be
this
the right type of team, isn't it, Jacob? It might be just about.
It's just right to beat. Because what I don't want at this point, coming off a week like that, is KU to not be tested in any way before Big 12. Like,
right.
They play Brown, so they'll play NC State, and then they go another week and they play Brown. So it's been fast and furious and crazy, and they've played all these high-end teams, and then it's like you don't want to see them come and play a couple cupcakes, and then boom, it's conference play. So I'm actually really happy this NC State game is there,
right,
to give us that before. You know, conference play starts, it feels like soon, but it's not until New Year's Eve that we see conference play begin for Kansas. So I'm glad we get this one. That'll be on Saturday. All right, let's take one more break here. We'll come back. We'll get ahead of the Shockers this weekend, going on the road for a nice test. Speaking of those, on the way out, let's give away some HTO. These will be good for either Wichita location or in Derby. And what you can do to win is enter the keyword tea right now to 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea. That'll get you a free iStore hot coffee. Both of them available to you. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We're coming back. We'll talk a little Shockers when we return on Sports Daily. Everybody, that IHOP hotline is open for you, by the way, the rest of the way. It's brought to you by IHOP, official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in, try our decadent, fully loaded French toast, only at IHOP. How about this, fellas? KFH here. We're now is the Kansas fan headquarters. Love that.
Yeah, how about
love
that?
And now KFH, love it. Shout out to Tony for that. I like that. We are listening to us on KFH, or you're watching us, or while listening to us on the Odyssey app, all these cool places that you can see us, including 12 News Connected. We appreciate your time. Shockers go to DePaul. They make the true road trip to Chicago, just like I really like the test for KU. Man, I love this one. For Wichita State, DePaul's 106 in the KenPom. They're better than that in the net, which is what really matters. Excuse me. So I kind of use KenPom as like a metric to see how good teams might be, but then the net is what really matters for the schedule. DePaul might end up being a quad one or quad two game as a true roadie if they end up good. So this is a really, not only is it a good test for Wichita State, Paul, it's a tremendous opportunity for a resume booster for Wichita State. Go beat a Big East team on the road, true road game like this. This could be a meaningful game down the road.
Yeah. Well, there was a point of time when DePaul was really something special. Now, they've not been that for a while. You know, back in the days of Ray Meyer, boy, we haven't mentioned that name on this show in how long. It's probably been years. But, you know, Ray Myers was a tremendous coach. Well, he's a Hall of Fame coach, obviously. But that's not the DePaul of today. But today, particularly this year, they're a little bit better. So this will give Wichita State a great test. You know, just how I remember when we were talking about Florida and playing Minnesota in the tournament. You know, you got an ACC team and you got an SEC team, and how important it is to beat those kind of teams for the image of this team, for your confidence. Same thing goes with a Big East team. You got to beat Big East teams. This is not a bad team. It's not a great team, but this is a team that's better than it's been in a while. So you go out, you beat them on the road, and you come back and you get ready for ACC or AAC play. And so I think it's a big test. And I think, quite frankly, I think the Shockers we're starting to see play in the paint that's a little better, defense a little better. I think Coach Mills is getting across to these guys what he's wanting, and I kind of like it. There's senior leadership on this team. It's an experienced team. And I'll tell you what, I'll make the prediction right now. Wichita State goes into Chicago and wins this basketball game. I don't know by how much, but they win.
Yeah, I think so too, Paul. I think so too. And Tommy, Paul mentioned in the paint something we brought up. And by the way, Wichita State coming off of a 96-point performance. So they're kind of finding their legs offensively too, clearly. But I think the one thing that surprised me, and we brought this up, you know, Ronnie DeGray's absence is a big one. But it has allowed Quincy Ballard to play be the best version of himself since that injury. He has played more than 25 minutes in every game since that injury, Tommy. So, you know, the concern was, what are they going to do there? Can, you know, if they put Mate and Ballard on the floor, then we saw what happened against Florida. Coach Mills in his post game, like, pointed it, like, that was a bad, that didn't work. And so if Ballard can give them those kinds of minutes, he hasn't been in foul trouble in any of those games. You know, one, the only issue with Ballard over his time is his availability to be on the floor. If he can do that, it really is going to help this team withstand the loss of DeGray, which is so such a big hole for them to fill. But that's certainly a good place to start.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, with this game specifically, the one thing we know about DePaul is that they shoot from long distance a lot. And that's not uncommon with some of the other opponents that Wichita State has faced over the course of the non-conference. So I think that they're accustomed to that. I mean, if you were inside Coke Arena and you saw East Tennessee State, like, they launched the ball from long distance a ton. And so I would expect that tomorrow against DePaul on the road. I think DePaul is going to come out of the gates wanting to shoot from long distance. So you've got to make sure that you are aware of that. If you're Wichita State, you got to make sure that you are defensively set and ready to go to be able to defend the three. And then you are also making sure that on the other end of the floor that you are completing your offensive possessions the way that you need to, and you're not turning the ball over, you're taking care of the basketball, and you're figuring out a way to get those rebounds on either side of the floor.
So DePaul this year, they got off to a great start, as teams do in college basketball, but they didn't play anybody, right? So they're kind of hard to figure. They played Southern Indiana, Prairie View, Mercer, Duquesne, Eastern Illinois, Northern Illinois, Valpo. And then their last two games, they've stepped it up in competition. They went and played Texas Tech on the road, lost by 14, and then lost at home in overtime to Providence. So the bottom line is, this is a winnable game for the Shockers. Like, the Shockers are likely going to be favored even on the road in this game. It'll be close, but it's a winnable game. Does that make it easy? Absolutely not. It's a true road game against a big opponent, but it's another tremendous opportunity before they get into the conference schedule to boost the resume. And I also think, to your point in what you were just talking about, Tommy, it's the kind of game where Wichita State should impose its will, right? Like, not a game where it's like, how do we react to what DePaul does or wants to do, but how do they stop what Wichita State wants to do? And I think
And isn't that something, too, that Paul Mills has really been focused on recently? I mean, after watching, you know, when they played in Orlando and struggled against Florida and all of that, like, you can't be reactive. You have to be proactive. That means fighting for every single rebound, all the 50-50 balls, like, everything. The toughness has got to show through. It's shown through against East Tennessee State, so you could tell that that was a point of emphasis. It's going to have to continue tomorrow.
It'll be fun. We'll talk about it on Monday. When we come back, we'll tell you what's on the network today. Don't go away. Sports Daily coming right back.